Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! Boy, good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the Kings for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike and making men of them. Tears and fears for my peers, they risen. You think that it is, if not it isn't. Race for the border, my daughter could be so banging out. Cheeks rocking, beats in her teeth, and it's time for hanging out. Gather, or rather, from a sucker to ride out loud. Just the brothers or others could never, ever rock a crowd.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie. This goes out Biggie. To you. This goes out to you and you and you. Biggie. You. This goes out to you. This goes out to Biggie. You. This goes out to you, 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 Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns as I crush so-called Willie's thugs and rapper dogs.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. Happy birthday, America, because, yes, we going to talk about what's going on in the country. We going to talk about what's going on in the sports world. There's a lot of conversations that we need to have this week. We may or may not be joined by a friend of the program, TJ McClune, this week, depending on if he can get his Skype to act right. But be that as it may, we got a show to do, so let's keep it moving. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and I am joined, as always, by my tag team partner, Marcus. The views expressed by Nate Milton do not reflect upon Marcus Vandenberg or any of Marcus Vandenberg's employers, past, present, or future. What's going on, brother?
Well, it didn't reflect on BET. That's cool. We'll let that one go.
Either BET or the BET of Barstool, either one.
Did you watch the BET Awards the other way?
No, I didn't even know the BET Awards happened.
Okay, that makes sense because, yeah, I remember when the BET Awards was this big cultural event, especially on social media, and considering that everyone should be at home. And the awards took place this past Sunday. Granted, there was no audience in the actual building, but there was no buzz for this show, which I did not watch out of PTSD. But from what I heard, this was the best BET awards ever, and the ratings were pretty, not great. So. And it was on CBS too, Nate. They put the simulcast on CBS.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were happening. I didn't see any ads for it. Because usually, like you said, Marcus, the BET Awards, say what you will about the quality and the content of black entertainment television, but the BET Awards are always a big social media event. And it's something that you're aware of, even if you're not going to watch it. You're aware of weeks and months leading up to it because, Viacom. There's many channels that they can use to promote BET on. And I didn't hear a peep, Marcus. Not a peep, not a whisper. Not a word about the BET Awards. So, no. Were there any standout performances that me or the listeners may have missed?
I don't know. I didn't really hear about... I just saw tweets about, oh, this is good, but I never understood, what was actually good about it. So, listeners to listen, if you watch the BET Awards, if you're one of the 3.3 million who watched, whatever the number was, let us know.
Yeah, BET, I can't tell you the last time I sat down intentionally to watch BET, Marcus, maybe... you're talking 2 years ago or 3 years ago now for that new edition miniseries of the Bobby Brown miniseries.
Yeah, in fact, when they cleaned up their act, they became irrelevant.
So what you're saying is when BET Uncut was removed from the schedule, then that subsequently removed the mystique and the aura around Black entertainment television.
I mean, look at VH1. VH1 now is known for... I mean, you were old enough to remember VH1 from the 90s, which was not for Black people. Not at all. Like, this was a network catered towards white people. Let's just be real. And now VH1.
Yes. VH1, I was going to say, Marcus. Like
BET from like 2000. Like it's,
yes, because they've got the Basketball Wives. They got the Black Tip and Tiny.
Or Inker, whatever. T.I. It's just like, what the hell happened?
I don't know what the hell happened, Marcus, with BET or VH1 or society, but you mentioned catering to white people. And that's what we're trying to do right now, Marcus. We're trying to build our demographics, build our base. And so we're going to bring in one of our favorite Caucasian brothers. He is a friend of the program. I don't know if TJ knew what the hell he was walking into this week, given the news of the day that we'll get into later on. But you know this man from the podcast world. You know this man from the print world. You just heard this man on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a friend of the program. Glad to have him back. TJ McClune is with us. TJ, how you feeling, man?
So you guys brought me on to talk about Vanilla Ice canceling his concert out here in Lakeway, Texas, right?
Yeah, I figured like you were the man on the ground. We needed to go straight to the source to find out what was going on with Robin Van Winkle this week.
You know, Bomani Jones on Le Batard Show has his segment with Ask a Black Person. I guess you can have me on here to ask a white person with Vanilla Ice and Lakeway, Texas, as not only was I a fan of Vanilla Ice back in 1990, but I do live in Lakeway, Texas as well.
I guess that leads to the third question, Marcus, you know, because we know TJ McClune, in addition to, you know, being a host and amongst other things, is also a burgeoning wrestling promoter. So did you have a promotional hand in this Vanilla Ice concert, TJ?
No, I did not. Neither did I have this this restaurant as well, which is about 15 minutes from where I am currently sitting at in my house right now. But I will say, here in Lakeway, Texas, home of Lake Travis High School, which currently has a couple quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Shout out Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. But we had a thing here a couple weeks back where a bunch of upperclassmen, juniors and seniors in high school, gathered together, some previously taking COVID-19 tests, some awaiting to see if they're positive or negative on said test, to participate in a thing called Pong Fest, which is a bunch of, you know, Declans and Tristans and Harrisons and Skylers of the world getting together to play beer pong, provided to them by Lord knows whomever parent they had.
Tyrone and Jamal weren't invited to this?
They may have been, but I'm not sure how many Tyrone and Jamals were allowed to have, you know, per quota. You know,
gotcha.
It's 2020 and all, so there used to be token, but I think now they're not to be tokens, just to fit up with the 2020 standards.
I mean, to be fair, like Texas already had their party for the Tyrones and Jamals over at Dak Prescott's house, and we know how that turned out.
Yeah, that's great.
Jeez, please. I love Zeke Elliott just tweeting out HIPAA. It's like, your information is very blasted out there for no reason outside of we need something to talk about because we haven't had it sports since St. Patrick's Day weekend.
So, yeah, before we get into sports, TJ, because I think we're going to start with the NBA and COVID's effect on the NBA and the bubble that's been the talk of the sports world the last couple months. But, you know, we haven't caught up with you. Marcus and I were discussing before the show. Last time we caught up with you was after your big WrestleMania shows.
So we
haven't talked to you in over a year, TJ. So how have you been lately, and then how are you coping with this new reality that we're faced with as Americans?
Well, let's just say that me not doing anything at this year's Super Bowl in Miami, I was the first one to postpone my event for 2020. So let's just get that out there. I was a trailblazer on that one. secondly, Good. Last time we chatted up, I was on my way out to Disney World. Would not be doing that this time this year for different reasons. Secondly, my ham bone of a son, who's now 2.5, is now going on his second broken leg on the same leg in the span of about 6 weeks. So it's been doing fine.
What is going on in Lakeway, Texas? Do I need to call CPS on you? What's up?
No, the kid's a ham bone. It's what he is. He's just a big Humpty Dumpty walking around. And well, the first time
you got to teach him how to bump, TJ.
He's stiff as a mother. I'll say that much. It's a kid. He'll look back at you and just throw a left jab right in your chin and just laugh about it. I'm like, yeah, because it's the thing. Like, he was born fall of 2017. I believe the Grand Cruise was that following February. Mm. Now, had he been born, say, fall of 2018 and had my wife Sarah been a fan of said Gronkowski, I'd be questioning some things right now for how much of a meathead this 2.5-year-old is. Not saying, you know, love my wife. We're both very faithful. But I mean, just saying, this kid's, I'm very go with the flow and chill. And this kid is very in your face and loves to hit things. So I'd be putting some feelers out to that Gronkowski family. If
sounds you know, like you got another Otis on your hands. Come on.
Yeah, really. But
I love how TJ's like sprinkled some breadcrumbs for this week's episode, Marcus, because not only has he talked about fidelity and marriage, we'll get to that. Not only has he shouted out, you know, the Declans and the Tristans of the world, and I'm sure some things I might say later on might aggravate the Declans and the Tristans of the world. But he's also talked about, like, and this is something TJ and I talked about online recently, the effect that COVID has had on sports. And we know, if there's one thing we know about Texas, if there's one thing the media has told us about the state of Texas, TJ, it's that y'all love some football, particularly high school football. So, like, before we get into the pros, I did want to touch base with you on your thoughts about these kids in particular getting back into the swing of things when it comes to, you know, preseason and training camp and starting a high school football season. Is that something that is feasibly possible right now?
So here in Texas, they just shut down all of the summer camps. So whether it be conditioning and weight training due to the pandemic, that is in effect until, I believe, the 12th of July at the earliest, because here it's a hotbed of positive cases. I know one of my best friends in Austin, he actually lives in San Marcos, and he was a very big part into those Super Bowl shows about 18 months ago. He came down actually with a positive case on it. Luckily, he's doing better, and he's on the way to recovery. But I mean, it's just every day there's a new case popping up and a bunch of new positive tests, and people need to be hospitalized. So it's kind of hard to envision a season that not only starts on time in late August, early September, but one where you're comfortable sending out people to fill stands up, whether it be here in Central Texas in Austin, or up in your more popular areas, up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or out in Houston, where that's for Texas HS football. That's our number one demo or market for social media, is out in Houston with Katie and the Woodlands, the two big powerhouses up in 6A. And they'll pack probably about 1,000 to 2,000 people every Friday night in that stadium. And it's just hard to think that they're going to have a way to put everyone in there and not have it backfire with a whole bunch of new cases spiking up coming from Friday night, just so they can watch their kids play and steamroll over some poor 6A team that isn't up to the level of a Katy or Woodlands or North Shore, whomever.
Yeah, this whole thing, Marcus, it feels like, and I've seen the allusion or the allegory to back when we were in grade school, and the kids that did what they were supposed to do and were well-behaved, they got to go out and have fun at recess. Mm-hmm. But then you had those kids that were troublemakers and knuckleheads and were throwing left jabs at their teachers when they weren't supposed to be. And they had to stay in the classroom during recess. And I feel like that's how America is right now. Like, we tried to be too slick with this whole thing. And then part of that is the government's fault. And then we're not going to get too political. But we know, like, the dude in charge has no clue of what's going on. But it's not only the government. It's this It's this sense of American independence, which I feel is our greatest strength and our greatest weakness, because people are too damn stubborn to stay in the house. And if they're not staying in the house, they want to be out without a mask on, low key. And so when you have a society or patches of society, Marcus, that won't cooperate, that won't follow the rules, that won't think of other people other than themselves, we're always going to be on this cycle of cases going down, cases going up, cases going down, cases going up. And that's not even talking about the second wave that so many people have talked about. So
yeah,
that brings us to the NBA, Marcus, because as much as I love the NBA, as much as I want to see LeBron and your Lakers try for this chip, I don't know if this is something that can be done.
So I've read a lot about the bubble over the last, I guess, a few weeks now. And I'm team bubble in the sense of if they can get everyone to Disney World in one piece and start the testing that they're offering, I think that it could work. Now, will they get to that point? I mean, there are some more numbers that came out today that some more NBA players that tested positive. So I think now they're up to, I think, 20-something out of 304. So it's the percentage rate is getting a little higher, but I know there's been a lot of talk about the number of cases in Florida recently. I think they cracked 10,000 overnight in terms of new cases for yesterday. Within Orange County, where Disney World is mostly located, I think they had, let's see here, 555 new cases last night. So, yes, that's definitely higher than it was even 2 weeks ago, but it is not, Central Florida is not the main issue when it comes to Florida cases at the moment. It's mostly South Florida, Miami area, Miami-Dade County. So I say all that to say, I think it's still possible to do. I don't see Disney World A shutting this thing down. I don't see the NBA shutting this down. There's just too much money on the line for, honestly, both sides. I mean, Disney took a bath in Q2 in terms of their revenue. And the NBA has lots of money on the line in terms of potential TV deals that they need to fulfill. So I think barring a government shutdown, which not going to happen, especially in Florida, this NBA season will resume. And I do think and this comes down to the players being responsible. If the players are responsible, you'll reach a point in August where we're down to no new cases. And that should be the trend. That should be the norm from August on out, based on the fact that it's going to be pretty hard to get people outside of the bubble, inside the bubble, and, really mess things up.
What about you, TJ? What's your take on the bubble and, some of the players that we've seen come down with cases of COVID? What's your prediction for whether or not we'll be able to get this postseason done?
So it's going to be really weird whenever the sports hot take will be LeBron can't finish, he can't win the big one, when Anthony Davis and like J.R. Smith are both out because of COVID-19, and LeBron's battling COVID-19, but he can't win. And they say, well, Jordan won them with the flu game, why can't LeBron win with this? The same thing. But the second thing, too, is – so my main team that I follow here, from day to day, are the Pacers. My wife lived in Indianapolis, and I wanted to go with the maximum white team, so Indiana was the call with that one. I would say Milwaukee, but they just kind of blurred the lines with Glenn Robinson, so they get a pass. So with the Pacers, they had a good shot. Oladipo is back. He has had more time to get that quad in his knee rested up and back to where it was before his injury. Brogdon is a good point guard. He can really steer the ship when it comes to the offense. You have Sabonis and Turner, who are probably two of the best forwards and centers that are playing in the Eastern Conference right now. And they had a real shot to make a deep run in this playoffs. And now Oladipo, they don't know if he's going, which I would think he'd be the first person you ask, like, if you're going to play or not, because you are very key to if we do go deep in this. Because if you're not playing, we have to rely on, I would say Jeremy Lamb, but I think he blew his knee out before this whole shutdown happened. So they have to rely on, what, TJ McConnell to be there, Justin Holliday to be that second scoring option, and that's not going to happen. So they'll finish it, but who knows what it's going to look like whenever Halloween happens and this is fucking finally wrap up.
Yeah, like I think they're almost in a position where they have to try Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means they'll be able to get it done. A lot of it depends on, you know, players being responsible and the league doing the best they can to make sure that bubble is tight. I think they'll try. I don't know if they'll finish. The other thing with this is not only are you talking about these players, but you're talking about, you know, the coaches and the support staff and, you know, other people associated with the league who are not on the court. And it's like, I don't even want to say it because it sounds too much like a joke, Mark. It's like a hack joke at this point, considering this dude's track record. But it's like, not only do you have to trust the players, not only do you have to trust these support people, but you got to trust somebody like J.R. Smith to be responsible.
And Deion Waiters.
JaVale McGee.
Same team.
Hey, what happened to Boogie on that team? Wasn't he a Laker for the longest time?
Boogie got cut when they signed. I think Waiters was the one that bumped him out because he was out. So
they
kept Boogie on because, you know, they did the right thing. But eventually the roster crunch got him. So he's
but
not
can
playing
we sub out
anywhere.
Brooklyn or Atlanta? Like, can we just sub one? Like, Brooklyn is out because the whole entire team is sick. But can we just, like, add in Atlanta? I'd rather see Trae Young than Spencer Dinwiddie in Brooklyn.
Dinwiddie, DeAndre Jordan. KD and Kyrie aren't playing. I mean, KD had coronavirus early on. So, they're just, you know. And, they are currently in the playoffs, and they'll make the playoffs. So depending on the seeding, this will either be a cakewalk for the Raptors or a cakewalk for the Bucks in that first round, because the Nets are just not going to be, I don't think, competitive.
No, that's what I said. Just sub them out. Like, put in a different team in there. Like, why not? If we're already doing wacky rules when it comes to the NBA with this whole play-in game from 8-9, why can't we just say – Brooklyn, you're out. Atlanta, you think you'd go in, but we want to go for money and ratings over anything. Golden State, come on down. You're in. Steph, you're back. Clay, you're back. Draymond, come on in. Let's do this.
Or TJ, I like where your head's at, McClune, because you're right. This is silly season, so to speak. So let's go crazy. Let's not just substitute another team in. Let's make up a new team. Made up of the best players who are not on playoff teams that want to compete in the bubble. Let's make like a bubble all-star team.
I like it.
And see if the bubble all-star team can pull off the upset.
And to improv you, and also add in a undrafted, go soon to be 2020 rookie class team as well. Give me all the team. All the players that would have made a big shining moment during March Madness if it wasn't canned, and let them play as well. And the kid who was kicked out of Memphis for taking money, and he said, you know, forget this. I'm not going to try to fight this with the NCAA. I'll just punt on the season. And both ball kids, LaMelo and
You got to have the balls.
Yeah.
With LeVar as the head coach.
Exactly. Silly season.
I'm down for this, Marcus.
All right.
Let's do it. Somebody get Adam Silver on the line.
Marcus doesn't want his Toronto Raptors getting knocked out again in the first round because of this.
Whoa. They haven't been knocked out in the first round in a while, all right? Calm down.
But that's because they've never faced the bubble all-stars before.
That is true.
Right.
I mean, the Bucks are going to get the one seed. So.
Make the fans to design the bubble jerseys.
Yeah.
donate the profits from the bubble jerseys to Black Lives Matter. Did I go too far?
No.
It's real quick, one last thing on the NBA, because I did just spark something in my head. Because we've seen a couple of the WNBA players, but in particular Maya Moore, who had already decided to sit out the season.
By the way, let's not brush up what Maya Moore did, by the way.
Okay, yeah, speak on it.
Maya Moore, who, as you mentioned, sat out last season. She was sitting out this upcoming season. And she did this because she decided to personally get involved in a case of Jonathan Irons, a man who was had been in jail. He was serving a 50-year prison sentence. He was tried when he was 16 for a crime he said he did not commit. And Maya was able to raise funds, get an attorney to look at his case, get his case overturned and tossed out. And then on Wednesday, Jonathan was released from prison and Maya was there in Missouri to sort of greet him. So, you know, when you talk about what players have done in terms of social activism and just using their power and their voice for good, like kudos to Maya for
Our listeners might not be as familiar with Maya Moore just because the WNBA doesn't get a lot of run, but like she is to that league what a LeBron or a KD or a Steph are to the NBA.
She is like a WNBA bona fide Hall of Famer, bona fide All-Star. I mean, she's a four-time champion. She was a champion at UConn. Like, she's gold medals. Like, she's got the resume. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Maya Moore been doing this. But then in addition to Maya Moore, we've had a couple WNBA players say that they're going to take off the whole season in order to devote their time to social awareness and in particular promoting Black Lives Matter and trying to get some of these inequities and some of these ills in the judicial system rectified. And so the question is, Marcus, because I don't know if I read it wrong or if I was, you know, sipping on something late at night and read the ticker incorrectly, but for the bubble season, are they going to have the Black Lives Matter messages on the court as well as on the players' jerseys?
They will be on the court. They are still going back and forth about the jersey issue, about what you'll be allowed to sort of display on the jersey. But the court will have Black Lives Matter. Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be cool, yeah, because I think the jerseys is a good idea in theory, but it's a slippery slope. Again, when you got J.R. Smith and Dion Wade is out here on these streets, you don't know who they're going to try to promote.
Well, I don't think it's mostly them. I think it's Enos going to just start shouting out like, hey, death to Turkey, or, you know, let's get rid of Erdogan. And then who's going to go take the shot at China? It's like, yeah. Let's not go completely over the line here.
Yeah, Adam Silver not trying to mess up his bread like that. No. I mean, the NBA store didn't pay his rent this month. He got problems right now, people.
Yeah.
So, but as TJ mentioned earlier, Marcus, not a lot of sports to talk about, but there was one big story this week, Marcus. The most 2020 sports story that you and I had predicted was coming eventually. And it was brought to fruition this past week because the New England Patriots have a new starting quarterback, even though he's not officially the starting quarterback. We all know what the deal is, Marcus Vandenberg, because Cam Newton is quarterback for your New England Patriots.
I don't know if he's going to be I would not pencil him as a starter.
I mean, I just had the same conversation, too, with a couple of my friends here, just for the fact that how is that foot? How's the shoulder? What does he look like?
Health is obviously a question, but if Cam Newton is healthy, Cam Newton is starting.
I mean,
what resume? You brought up resumes, Marcus Vandenberg. What resume does Jarrett Stidham have? Hey, don't worry, I'll wait.
Gritty, hard worker,
He's got a high motor.
High motor.
Sneaky fast. Defense.
Sneaky fast.
Mm-hmm. Sneaky fast. He is. He's a true grit and grind player.
Yeah.
A lot of heart. A lot of leadership.
Well, yeah, the only thing that, like, I think health is a very valid concern, TJ. Health and maybe, you know, coming into camp late. But at the same time, nobody's in camp right now. So it's not like...
And I got one more. I got one more for you. One more ism. A student of the game.
Ooh. Yes. Yes, he can.
That's one.
He can read the pocket.
Yes, he can.
He goes to sleep with his playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First one in, last one out.
Yep. Gym rat. Yeah.
Oh, that's. Oh, wait, we still have to say gym rat? That's still okay?
Mm-hmm.
After everything that's happened? Okay, cool.
I was going to say, you can say gym rat. You can't say the other rat.
Yeah, no.
Ixnay on the.
Yeah.
But yeah, where's so Cam Newton. Button? Cam, yeah, show killer. Look, I'm just giving the listeners a preview. Like, this is all the light work. Like, we haven't even begun to dig into the meat of this episode yet. But Cam to New England. TJ, what was your first impression when the news broke?
It's a good signing in the sense of if he is healthy, this is a quarterback that can lead the Patriots back to another division title. Possibly, I think he won't be able to get a bye because now in 2020 season there's only one bye compared to two byes, which New England always skated on for the last 15 years. Though, again, if he's healthy, as in not 2015 MVP Cam Newton, where he's running down the sideline and doing the jumping high five with the rest of his team, they're taking a big team photo, which Greg Olsen can't be bothered to smile for. He has to look completely stoic, like a damn statue. Which that didn't set off any people right there. If he can go back to that level, then that team is good enough to be like they were with Brady. If he's 70% of that, where he has some ability, but he's not completely taking over games, that division is still garbage because they're not going to get beat by Fitzpatrick or Tua in Miami. They're not going to get beat by whatever the hell the Jets are going to do if Sam Darnold, who was getting sick before COVID was cool with the mumps, if they won't get demolished by the Patriots. And then you have Buffalo, who's good, but you don't know if Josh Allen is a good, but if Josh Allen, where he's at on the Andy Dalton scale, what just came up in my head, where Andy Dalton's good enough to get you 10 wins, but he's not good enough to take you to a second or third round of the playoffs. Hmm. So if Josh Allen, is he a better Dalton, or is he a worse Dalton to where he's just going to get you 8 wins and you might be there, but more likely you're going to be second place to the Patriots every single year.
Yeah, Buffalo's intriguing. Like, I really want to see how Stephon Diggs meshes with that offense.
They signed Josh Norman, too, to be in the secondary to take on whatever New England was going to do.
And somebody in the D.C. area, T.J. McClune, who has watched Josh Norman for the past 3 seasons.
But to call Washington from the Lepitar show the Washington racial slurs, you see what type of front office that place is and what they do with some of their elite talent, like Trent Williamson, who they're just like, yeah, you're not playing here. And he's like, I'm healthy. I'm like, no, you're not healthy. You're not playing. Just get the hell out of here. Like, I trust that team is as much of a tire fire as it is, and Josh Norman still has a lot of talent in him to where he was the defensive player of the year with Carolina.
What about you, Marcus? What's your outlook for the Patriots?
They're not going to be this good. Come on, stop. Stop. Who are these quarterbacks throwing to? Tell me that.
Marcus Vandenberg. Look, we just listed off the accolades of one Jared Stidham. There is one person on that team who is all of that and then some. That's Julian Edelman.
Okay, you got 34-year-old Julian Edelman. That's great.
They still have Mohamed Sanu, which I completely forgot he was even still active in the league.
Yeah.
When Mohamed Sanu is your number two receiver, that is a red flag.
And they got the kid out of Arizona State.
N'Keal Harry. Yeah, he was hurt most of last year.
N'Keal Harry.
They signed Marquise Lee, who was hurt last year. They lost Gronkowski. I mean, the tight end is going to be even worse, I think, this year. Yeah, I think they'll win 8 games. I don't see them winning the division, though. I think it's Buffalo's division to lose at this point.
I mean, you're asking. See, that's the thing. On paper, Buffalo should win the division. On paper. Mm-hmm. But that man Bill Belichick is not a piece of paper, Marcus Vandenberg. And as much as I hate to give him credit, even without Tom Brady, if I'm anybody in that AFC East, I'm still looking over my shoulder for the New England Patriots.
I mean, that's fine, but that doesn't mean, you know, they're going to be any good.
Because you mentioned the deficiency, you mentioned the deficiencies of the offense, which I do think, like, a lot of those receivers you mentioned, like Edelman was banged up, Sanu was banged up, Harry was banged up. We'll see what happens this season. But also, like, that defense was a problem last year. Like, yeah. That defense was one of the best in the league. And if that defense is any semblance of what it was last season, like, they, and in that division where you've got Miami, you've got the Jets, and I know this hurts you, Marcus, for your J-E-T-S, Jets, where your only real legitimate threat is Buffalo, I think it's going to be a horse race between Buffalo and New England.
Don't sleep on the 7-9 Jets last year. They were, you know.
They won seven games?
Exactly. They won seven games with Le'Veon looking like crap and Darnold missing some time. Yeah, they won seven games.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a rough season last year for quarterbacks. For the well, didn't they get to their third-string quarterback at one point?
Yeah, oh, they got. Because what's his face that hurt? Was it Lute Falk or is it Simeon? No, Simeon got hurt, I think. Like hurt, and then they had to go to Lute Falk. So, yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, he was the first victim to Myles Garrett.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, I think we're going to see like a three-team jumble between like Patriots, Jets, and Bills, and they'll try to claw out for 9 wins to win the division, and then the Dolphins.
Okay. So you're giving the Patriots 8 wins.
I'm giving 8 wins, 8-8.
PJ, what are you giving them? Just off of what you see from the team right now.
16-0. No, it wouldn't be surprising if they get to 11. That's the realistic one where they've been at for the last 20 years now.
So one less win than last season, 11-5.
Right. Did they finish 11-5 last year?
They were 12-4.
Okay. Well, I mean, they went, 11-5 with, what's his name? That Castle. Yeah.
Well, like, Belichick has had success with quarterbacks in New England not named Brady. What are you talking about, Castle? Jacoby Brissett won him a few ball games. Your man, porn star Jimmy, won him a couple games. So, again, all things being precedented on Cam Newton being healthy. If Cam is healthy, I think anything less than 10 wins is a disappointment for this team. Because I've got him at 10-6.
So I have a theory here that just came to me. I'm going to float it out here because I feel like this is the right show to do it on. Do you think that someone in Boston, like the mayor, someone higher up, made the czar of their sports council, went to the Patriots and said, hey, guys, we're getting beat up over our image, right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sign not only a black quarterback, but one that dresses like Cam in post-game press conferences to prove that we are changing our image because we won't attack him whenever he goes 17 of 28 for 2 picks and 1 touchdown and loses 34-10.
Oh, this fit, Marcus. Like, because the radio stations are already, man. In Boston. Yeah. Like, he better not come out here and dab. He better not do that Superman thing.
Don't celebrate. Don't have fun.
Don't celebrate.
it's oh, sad. Man.
Like I think there's a part of Bill Belichick underneath that hoodie, Marcus Vandenberg, that wants Cam to go out here and dab on him.
Oh, I'm sure, because that means he's throwing touchdowns. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, that whole thing.
Like this is a perfect deal for, I think, for all parties involved. Because you know,
not for Cam. That, that deal sucks for him.
Yes.
Well, I got a thought about that. But for the Patriots side, like, it's there's no risk involved at all. Like, if this doesn't work out, let's say worst case scenario, Cam blows out his knee on the first play of the season. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, all you're down is $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's not a big deal. But for Cam, I get what you're, I get where you come from, Marcus, because there is a level of disrespect to what Cam has done and what Cam has on his resume for him to take this veterans minimum deal. But I think that Cam showing that he, and again, Cam doesn't need to do this, but and something we might get into a little bit later, Marcus, sometimes you have to do things for the benefit of other people. Because they're not giving you any benefit of the doubt on the front end. Cam doing this good faith measure, showing that he wants to come in and work and compete for this starting job. And then if they go and have a 10-6 or 11-5 or 12-4 season, or, you know, have a deep run in the playoffs, and Cam is maybe not the Cam of 2015, but he's a more fully formed quarterback in that system. Not only do you then have the opportunity for Cam to re-up with the Patriots if he so chooses, but he also makes himself more attractive to these NFL teams that weren't interested in him this offseason, where apparently only the Bucks, not the Bucks, the Browns, were the only other team really seriously pursuing Cam Newton. So I think, yes, there is a bit of insult that he had to get take this lowball deal. But I think in the long run, if he does what I think he can do, if he's healthy, I think this might end up being a benefit for Cam going forward.
And when he doesn't start week one, then what? When he's on the bench? how does that go?
If Cam is not starting week one, Marcus Vandenberg, something ain't right. You know, was it Albie Shore? Something just ain't right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to be here on the Kings of Sport. If week one, Cam Newton isn't starting, because you can't tell me if Cam Newton is healthy that Jarrett Stidham is beating him out in a fair competition.
Yeah.
This is from Diana Rossini. She had this tweet yesterday. I spoke over text with an AFC East head coach on Cam Newton and the Patriots. Quote, I think they're going to keep three QBs. Use Cam Newton perhaps as the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one on the offense. I know one thing for a fact, the Patriots love Jarrett Stidham. thanks, Adam Gase.
Yeah, Adam Gase in the building. There's a couple things though, Marcus, because I think you brought it up a week or so ago that, yes, teams will, because we were talking about Kaepernick. Teams will need to carry more quarterbacks this season. Mm-hmm. Than usual, just because of COVID, because it's going to happen sometime during the season. One of your quarterbacks is going to catch it. But I think that they do love Jarrett Stidham, which might also be a reason why you don't want to start him immediately. You don't want, because it's better to be the guy that follows the guy that follows the guy than the guy that follows the guy, if you catch what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe, like, if they do love Jarrett Stidham, high motor that he possesses, maybe Cam is the cover. Because if things don't go, like, if we do get that worst-case scenario where things don't go right, then Jarrett Stidham doesn't face any of the blowback from it. But if Jarrett Stidham's your starter from day one and the Patriots go 8-8, then it's going to be some questions being asked.
But when the backup to the guy is a black man in New England, do those cries become a little softer? Do they say,
he is
well,
going to be the most popular player on the team.
To Jarrett Stidham?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, being a backup to Cam, Jarrett Stidham will be the, because the backup quarterback's always popular anyway, but being the backup quarterback to Cam in that town, he's going to be super popular.
Oh, yeah, if he comes in a blowout and goes like 12 of 15 yeah. and two touchdowns, and they still lose 45-20, next week it's going to be like, oh, start Stidham. What are you doing?
I mean, this
like, who cares that they're in reserves?
Cam faced in Carolina with Derek Anderson. People were actually calling for Derek Anderson to
Derek
start
Anderson
for the Panthers. And, you know, we saw what happened with Jared Anderson playing football. So, yeah, I mean, Cam's used to that part. He's used to sort of being, you know, the second most popular quarterback when he should be the first most popular quarterback.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, man. Like, I'm not ready for football, TJ, just because of what's going on in the quote-unquote real world. But there's a part of me that is just intrigued by all the move, you know, Brady going to Tampa Bay, Cam now in New England, you know, Teddy Bridgewater getting a new start with a new team. So, like, there's intrigue. There's some interesting storylines. Pat Mahomes, can the Chiefs go back-to-back? Lamar Jackson, you know, what's going on with that? The Cowboys, now that Dak got a little bit of change, will the Cowboys have more success this upcoming season? So, even though I don't want to see it, I kind of do want football to start.
I still like how it's people are like, hey, Jerry, you want to talk? Nah, I'm good. You sure? Like, nah, pass. I'm going to just hang out on my weird space boat, and I'll see you guys in September.
Just going to drink Johnny Walker Blue and just see what happens.
Yeah. No, it's weird how Mr. I love me, as much as T.O. loves himself, is nowhere to be found in the last couple months here. It's weird. It's really weird. But I don't mean to steal the conversation off of football, but this is like – I feel like you guys resonate with this as much as I did when I just saw it come across my Twitter timeline. There was a college kid that just accepted an offer in basketball to go play at UTA Arlington for the 2021 season. That college kid, TJ Ford Jr.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. I saw that. And I'm like, hey, wow, we are old. TJ Ford Jr. now going to be playing basketball.
Yeah. Like, who was it? Whose birthday was it today, Marcus, that you said made us feel old?
Bret Hart. TJ. Guess how old Bret Hart is, TJ.
I would guess, a real guess, not a made-up guess, which I'm going to get into Terry Funk here in a second to parlay this. I would say 56 for Brett.
63.
Wow. Okay. I didn't mean to. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's amazing.
Bret Hart, 63. John Elway, 60. So, yeah, we getting up there, McClune.
Well, it's funny because Terry Funk had his birthday a couple days ago, and I looked it up, and he's 75. Yeah. It's like, great. He's going to run for president this year.
Flair 71. So when you see Flair in your television in 2020 during the pandemic, remember this man is 71 and beat Def at least one time.
Twice.
Multiple times.
The plane crash, yeah, twice.
Yeah, plus however many stories you don't hear about him escaping hotel rooms because people try to, you know, stab him from one night stands from previous exchange.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. with that age group and this pandemic, I'll sidebar into a story here with a 7-on-7 tournament out here in the suburb of Houston of the Woodlands. And this is right before everything broke with the pandemic, the first wave or the first time. And I'm out there at Dave & Buster's night before this football tournament, touching screens, drinking stuff, shaking hands, like nothing's a care in the world. And I'm at the football tournament the next day and I'm like, oh, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, you're not the demo. Old lady in a wheelchair with a mask on. Yeah, that's looking at the Reaper behind you. And then the next week, everything shuts down. I'm like, great. I'm surprised I escaped death door, being up there in the middle of a field and at Dave Buster's, touching God knows what, getting who knows, you know, diseases on me the night before this whole tournament, and staying at a hotel as well.
Yeah,
probably wasn't wiped down or anything like that.
Nope. <Yeah. laughs> I think that's something we've learned through this pandemic, Marcus, because one of the pictures recently that just made me laugh and shake my head at the same time was I forget where it was, but they were showing a movie theater being sanitized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't do this regularly?
Yeah.
Like they're going above and beyond right now with their cleaning, which means every time you go to the movie theater to watch whatever you're going to watch, at minimum, they probably like spray it, spritz it, wipe it down, if that. So who knows how many diseases we've been picking up over the years just because we wanted to go watch a movie.
Or gas pumps. When you grab it off the nozzle, yeah, put it in your gas tank and go fill it up. Like, we should wear gloves to begin with. Like, you know, the most sanitized people there was, worker-wise, and getting you make sure that you didn't catch anything, bowling companies. Now, they had that weird magic spray they spray in the shoes so you wouldn't catch any weird fungal disease. Ahead of their time, bowling alleys. Ahead of their time.
Well, that's the thing, Marcus. Like, we're about to enter into a new reality, because even when we get a handle on this, even when, you know, a couple years from now, when we have a vaccine, even when
a couple, hold on, wait. Next year. Let's.
Okay, next year. Look, again, we've had this conversation, Marcus. I'm not going to be the black guy that stands up in front of the government saying, "I'll be first to take your vaccine, sir."
I mean,
I read my history books.
I won't be first, but I'll be like, you know.
Like, I'm not going to be the one in line to buy the iPhone the first day. I'm going to wait. I'm going to get the bugs out first.
All right. You said that now.
But there's certain things, like Marcus, like we might get to a point where, you know, TJ mentioned high school football in Texas. Like, those stadiums may never get filled to capacity, or at least not for a while. Like, if sporting events being 50% capacity, restaurants being 50% capacity, you know, wearing a mask might just become part of our everyday routine even more so than it already has. Like, I think we, and when I say we, I mean America, I think we don't know the depths of how this is going to affect us going forward, because I think it's going to be a lot more long lasting than we think it is.
Well, I know that our girl kid, who's the oldest one in the family, she starts kindergarten next year, and we were going to have her start in public school. Well, now we're not, because her recess is canceled. They're not going to have the kids go outside. Their lunch, eat inside of their own classrooms. They have to wear a mask during the day while they're in school. They can't really leave to go out. Like, bathrooms are scheduled, so there are too many people in the hall or in the bathrooms at one time. We're like, forget this. We don't want her first experience at a public school to be regimented so much that they can't enjoy what a normal school day would be. So we kept her at where she's at now, which is, like, you know, not really a private area, but it's something that she's used to with her, like, daycare wise.
You ready, Marcus? Are you ready for this transition?
Let's do it.
Because I'm glad we talked about Cam for a little bit, because Cam is a nice segue to our next topic on the show this week. And
Sidney Crosby and his lack of response of racial inequality.
I mean, look, that's how crazy that's how crazy this week's show is, Marcus. Like, there's so much to talk about. We didn't even touch on everything that happened with Bubba and the fallout from what happened with Bubba and NASCAR. Like, there's so much stuff going on right now. But we're gonna stay in Boston. And it's funny, because last night, Marcus, and again, let me reiterate the disclaimer that I put off at the top of the show. The views and the words expressed by Nate Milton are his and his alone. I don't want to speak for Marcus Vandenberg and besmirch his sterling reputation, or speak for TJ McClune and besmirch his average reputation.
At best.
But yeah, so last night, it's funny, because Sam Adams has put out this new ad campaign where the whole basis for it is the spokesperson is your cousin from Boston. Mm-hmm. And I watched a couple of the ads. They're funny. They're cute. Okay, I get what you're going for. And I went to post on Twitter, and I was like, you know what? Because Boston's had a rough week, couple weeks. And I was like, you know what? These commercials are pretty cute. And it reminds me of hanging out with guys a lot like this character from when I went to Dean College up near Boston. And then, so, like, you know what? Boston gets a bad rap, and sometimes it's rightfully earned, but there's a lot of good people up in Boston. Then I woke up this morning, Marcus Vandenberg, and what do I see on my timeline at 7:55 in the morning? But some foolishness put out by that bastion of Beantown bread bullshit, Barstool Sports. So, for those that don't know, let's catch him up a little bit here, Marcus. Dave Portnoy, the big kahuna of Barstool Sports, has run into a bit. He always is running into controversy. It's on brand for him. But there has been some footage that has resurfaced of him using the N-word and you know, calling Colin Kaepernick a terrorist and a bunch of other ill-informed and offensive comments. And so my man went out there a couple of days ago and basically put out not even a non-apology. It was doubling down on his comments and saying he wasn't going to apologize. You know, he's not going to bow to cancel culture. And then, you know, he's too big to be canceled. And so the black people that work at Barstool, everybody was kind of looking at them for what the response was going to be.
Yep.
And so today they released a podcast from Willie Colon and some of the others at Barstool with the title, Marcus Vandenberg, of... And let me bring this up because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to misquote.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's the title of the actual podcast or just the title on the photo.
Yeah, it's the episode title, I guess. It's not the actual title of the show.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, the Minority Report is the actual podcast name.
Yes, the Minority Report is Barstool Nigger with the hard R.
Hardest of the R's,
and it's an acronym. That I don't know what makes me madder, Marcus, that this is the name of the show, or that you took the time to get cute with the acronym, because it's not just nigger. Now it's gonna get extremely real. Like, you sat there and worked out an acronym for this to fit in. Like, do we go extremely, even? Let's stick with extremely. That works. That pops. But apparently, so I guess the episode, and I don't know the full details because I didn't listen to it, you know, so full disclosure, they could have said the most wonderful things in the world. They could have said the most constructive things in the world, TJ, but I'll never know because I didn't listen. Like, I'm not giving Barstool my bandwidth. But I did listen to a few of the clips that have been posted online, and apparently the episode focused on their reaction to what Davis said. Mm-hmm. And there's points where Willie talks about how they were like, yeah, this didn't sit well with us. And Dave's response was, okay, I hear you, I understand, but my audience likes this. And we make a lot of money and I pay your salary. So basically, you know, sit down and shut up. And so I'm trying to think, do I want to get to the plot twist first, Marcus, and then we can chop it up? Or yeah, let me tell the plot twist.
Okay.
Cause this, so yeah. So, Tyler, came out. He's one of the people on the Minority Report, and he came out and was like, hey, I didn't know this was going to be the title. I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, I get it if you don't want to listen to it because of the title of this episode. And it turns out that the title came from Dave. And spoiler alert or plot twist, swerve, bro. Willie Colon. So Willie Colon and Dave Portnoy came up with this title for this episode, Barstool Nigga. Now it's going to get extremely real. And they didn't tell any of the other black people on the show that this was going to be the name. Marcus Vandenberg, what do we do with this?
I am on the Barstool website, and I am reading the comments for this podcast. Mm. And even the Barstool commenters are like, guys, this is a little aggressive.
yes. Like, a PFT commenter came out and said something about it. Like even the Barstool people are like, you might have gone a little too far with this one, boss.
So my favorite comment is, now what happens if I recommend this show to a friend? What do I call it, fellas? That is a great question.
You're like, here's the thing, Marcus. Like, I understand. In a way, I'm trying to put my feet in the shoes of Willie and Dave. I guess it's shocking and edgy, and that'll entice people to look at it. No, I can't even rationalize this, Marcus. Mm-hmm. I can't even rationalize it. Like, Maybe Dave. I can see Dave wanting to say this, but for Willie to co-sign and then not tell the rest of the crew, hanging these people out there to dry. Because it's seven people on the show. And if you don't know any of that backstory, these black people come off looking either A, like they're chumps and are uninformed because they willingly signed up to be on this show, this episode called Barstool Nigger, or at worst, like at the very worst, they look like sellouts, like they back here tap dancing for Mr. Day.
Yeah.
Like immediately, the first thought I had when I looked at this title was I flashed back to the WB. And I know Marcus and TJ remember the WB. And the spokesperson for WB was our boy Michigan J. Frog. And Michigan J. Frog's only job was to sing and dance for the man. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. That's what I thought of when I saw these six or seven black faces on this episode. And so it's like, yeah, like, you left your, like, I think that might offend me as much as the title, Marcus, that Dave and Willie left these people out to dry. And to, like, Tyler got all this abuse and some of the other people got this clapback from the audience out there and the people on Twitter. And maybe you could even say it's deserved, though, because if you lie down with dogs, you really can't complain when you wake up with those fleas.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry about that. I mean, look, they decided to work for Barstool. That's great. But if you're going to work for Barstool, you're going to be attached to Barstool. And, you know, if that's the company you want to associate yourself with, then by all means, go for it. But if people are critical, especially other black people are critical, then what did you expect? Come on.
Well, the weird thing that I've seen on Twitter is anybody who comes after Willie, his response is, great, thank you for listening, download more episodes. Or, hey, there's one Bleacher Report writer who really took him to task for it, and he goes, great, come on next week's episode and we'll discuss this. So how much is this where they were struggling for downloads and listen, so they're like, great, we'll pop the town with this episode and title it this way, and we'll get a ton of feedback and publicity for it, which will boost our listeners and boost our downloads for this week.
Yeah. Like I think this is very calculated on the part of Willie and probably Dave, in that they knew this is going to get attention. They knew that word is going to get attention. And so whatever merit or value could have come out of this podcast. Cause there's a world in which this is actually a helpful thing, Marcus. Right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a world in which you have this platform in Barstool that attracts a lot of people and you have these black voices on the network and they are actually speaking truth to power, right? They're actually holding their boss accountable and there's a conversation that could have been had. You know, Dave could have gone on the show. I don't know if he did or not because like I said, I didn't listen. But Dave could have gone on the show and they could have had a legitimate conversation. But seeing what I've seen of Dave out of the past couple of weeks, because, again, I'm not somebody that watches Barstool or listens to Barstool on the regular. But TJ is like him and I talked about this earlier. For anybody that hasn't seen or listened to Dave Portnoy, the easiest comparison for wrestling fans is he's New England Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Like he's New England Russo. Like, listen, bro, I'm going to make a podcast.
Without a governor on him to stop him.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Like Russo had Vince McMahon. Dave is Vince McMahon of Barstool.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, Erica. Well, I don't know how that works because Dave, it's Dave's site. So, yeah, like, you're right.
Like she runs the company because she's the CEO, but he's the owner. So, but it's also, it's like Levitard said this week, if they're going to have corporate sponsors and be in with corporations, you know, how much is this rhetoric and this shtick of his going to keep on playing if they're going to start attracting a higher value for their ads?
Yeah. Let me just read Willie's tweet, by the way. This is about title. As offended as people are about the title of the podcast, is as offended as we are hearing the word. The title chosen did what it was supposed to do. Grab your attention and offend. It's not a pretty word to see, right? It's ugly. It's not a pleasant word to hear, right? It's offensive. So do what you want us. So do what you want us to do. Wanted us to do. Get past the title and hear the message. It's hard to do because you keep focusing on the word. Trust. We get it. No matter who says it, it's offensive. Now it's going to get extremely real.
He still had to get that plug in at the end.
Of course. That's what I said. I think it's much like a wrestling term. It was just there to pop just so they can get a bunch of new listeners in there. And hopefully that those listeners, they don't, much like if it's a recurring charge for a monthly service, you forget to unsubscribe to their podcast after you subscribe to this first episode.
Yeah, because that explanation, quote unquote, doesn't even make sense, Marcus, because if I know that the title is going to offend you and probably make you not want to listen, then whatever I say on the show, the content of the episode, doesn't really matter because you haven't even pressed play.
True, but I would not be thinking about Willie Colon, shout out to Hofstra, if it weren't for this title today. I knew he worked at Barstool, but
right.
I mean, I didn't know what he did at Barstool.
It's good promotion for the brand and for Willie, but if you're actually about the work of having a conversation, it doesn't help that because people aren't listening.
Yeah.
I thought he was still playing offensive line for the Steelers.
He's 37, man. He's old. He's like my age.
Ooh. Yeah, really. Hey, we still have a 37-year-old quarterback coming off of the Tommy John surgery to lead us to another playoff run. God forbid they have to go back to maybe sort of possibly racist Mason Rudolph. Where we are fall on that one? Did it? Whatever happened with that story?
It's still, he said, he said. I mean,
yeah.
He still denies it. Myles Garrett says it still happened, and that was sort of it.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I will say that before Cam signed to the Patriots, I was thinking Mason Rudolph was going to head over there and challenge Jared Stidham, given the owner's political leanings. How they may or may not align with Mason's.
They could run the offense as a rub and tug.
No.
I want to fit that in somehow. I don't know how I was going to fit that in there, but I figure much like an appointment at 3 o'clock where you have to catch a flight at 4, you got to fit it in somehow.
You got to take your shots when they come. So, Marcus, do you want to talk about I'm trying to think how do I want to do this? Because I've got some remarks. I've got some remarks, and maybe the best way to do this, Marcus, is for me to just go ahead and speak my piece, and then we can discuss after that. Let's just do it that way. Because I've prepared a written statement, Marcus Vandenberg.
Is this for the Nets story or for Barstool?
We still with Barstool. Barstool / Simmons /
BSO.
The media. BSO, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, people forgot about that. Like, there's been so much going on this week. So, plus I promised Black Man USA that I was going to call Dave Portnoy like various shades of bitches this week. So I need to get my statement out of the way, Marcus Vandenberg.
Well, let's go backwards and then we'll go BSO because that was the most recent thing besides Barstool.
Yeah.
And then
it's a different variety of offense than Barstool and then the Ringer's like a totally different category.
Yeah, that the Ringer category is more so what you would see in everyday corporate environments. I mean,
yeah. So yeah, let me talk to Dave Portnoy because I know he's listening. He probably like vanity searches himself. So we'll have to make sure we put his name in the hashtags for this episode. like I said, I prepared a written statement. I like to open my remarks by saying, fuck Dave Portnoy. Fuck the self-appointed gatekeepers in sports media. Fuck America's obsession with propping up white mediocrity. And fuck putting black and brown employees in impossible no-win situations. This isn't about cancel culture. This isn't about being politically correct. This isn't about folks being overly sensitive or being too woke. This is about your antiquated, asinine, adolescent sense of humor and the way it informs and inflames your audience. This is about you and your site wallowing in the muddy waters of racism, misogyny, insensitivity, and mediocrity. Again, mediocrity. I got to hit on that. This is about you creating a culture where it's okay for you and your listeners and your viewers to casually dismiss someone's opinions on sports or on your coverage of sports based on their gender or their skin color. Like I said, this isn't about cancel culture. This is about consequences culture. And there are consequences for using racial slurs. There are consequences for making rape jokes. There are consequences for habitually line stepping. There are consequences for continually lowering the bar on sports talk while your profit margins rise. And it'd be one thing if this were an isolated incident from Dave Portnoy. But again, this is something that we've seen over and over and over again. I believe in the First Amendment, Marcus Vandenberg. I believe that we all have a right to express ourselves in the way that we feel is just. But that First Amendment right does not protect you from getting checked. This does not protect you from getting held accountable for your words and for your actions. And so I know we probably have listeners that listen to Barstool. And if that's what you want to do, that's cool. But I will say this, Marcus, like you can't say that you stand for the values of this show. And granted, you know, we just a podcast here, Marcus Vandenberg. We're not changing the world, but there are certain values that we've established over the past 7 years. You know, everybody being able to have a voice at the table, expanding the tent, you know, having conversations that, yes, they're silly a lot of time, but we also get serious. You know, we get extremely real, as some people would say. So if you value what we do over here, you're probably not going to be on that other side with Dave Portnoy and others of his ilk. And that's all I say, others of his ilk. But this speaks to a larger issue, Marcus, and it's an issue that we'll talk about a little bit later with Bill Simmons, in that there needs to be more voices. There needs to be a variety of thought so that we can have these conversations. So when, you know, things like Dave Portnoy using the N-word comes up, it's not merely him being defensive and black people like, you out of pocket. It's got to be a conversation. But we can't have that conversation if we are not given access to these spaces. And that's, you know, TJ keeps bringing up Dan Le Batard, and I'm glad he has, because one of the things I respect about Dan Le Batard is – he got to a place where he was one of the biggest shows on ESPN, and it would have been easy for him to have a blind spot, like we're going to talk about later, Marcus, and not hire people that have either differing opinions, different voices, or different life experiences. But Dan Le Batard basically put on Bomani Jones, Pablo Torre, Mina Kimes, Sarah Spain, Izzy Gutierrez, your man Amin El Hassan. Like, these are smart, funny, different voices that we probably wouldn't have heard if Dan and some others along the way hadn't given these people opportunities. And so when you look at a company like Barstool, when you look at a company like The Ringer, when you look at a company even like ESPN or Fox Sports or CBS Sports, where you're getting your media coverage from, we got to look beyond the headlines. We have to hold these corporations accountable for the voices that they amplify and the platforms that they are given. Because if they're not reflecting the will of the consumer, then they're not doing their job. And that's all I'm going to say, Mark. I'm going to get off of my soapbox, even though I do like the view from up here. But that's all I had to say on that particular topic.
Very well said.
And I did it without anybody getting fired. Speaking of getting fired, Black Sports Online.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to go Simmons.
Oh, we, Simmons. We're making an inverted Oreo here, TJ. We're going to start with Barstool, then we're going to go to Black Sports Online, then we're going to go to The Ringer.
Yeah, BSO. Robert Latall was accused, let's see, today's Thursday, so this was Saturday night?
Sunday night? Yeah, it must have been.
In a series of tweets from different former contributors to his website, BSO, he was accused of conduct that was not appropriate for someone in his position, a lot of sexual innuendo, a lot of holding power over his employees based on possible sexual encounters. Just all the things you don't want to do as someone running a website. And it got addressed the next day by Robert, who apologized and said he was in the wrong and that he would do better, yada, yada, yada.
The standard apology we've gotten used to the past couple weeks.
Yeah, NABJ put out a statement as well. Actually, put out two statements regarding the issue. One from the main organization, one from the sports task force. You know, the thing with all of this, sadly, is like that feels like so long ago, but it was just a few days ago. But because of everything that's gone on, you know, and Twitter and social media, like the cycle moves so fast that you know, you would think that happened weeks ago, but no, that was just early this week.
Let me ask you real quick, Marcus. Have you, because I know we've talked about him before, but like I only know Robert through social media. Like, have you ever had any interactions with him?
I've had a couple in person, yeah, fights and stuff, but like I do not know him like that, no.
Because I have a friend. Well, as much as a friend as somebody can be that you've never met online, that covered the NFL, and she recently posted on Instagram some of her experiences with Robert, and it's like, yeah, like just like I don't know the extent of what is true and what is not true, but from all the smoke, like it just seems like it's not a good dude, and using your influence and using your position to make people uncomfortable and you know, much like I talked about Barstool kind of gatekeeping, it feels like this is a different kind of gatekeeping, but it's no less inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. One, obviously the sexual advances that he was making to his employees, and then lost sort of in all this was the fact that he's using these people for free labor. Like people, one of the women mentioned she had done 1,000 stories for free. And on top of that, once she left BSO, he went back and took her byline down. So it's bad enough you're not paying these people, but then you then go back and strip them of their identity of who wrote the story. Yeah. That's the currency at this point. The currency is the clip. And if you take that, if you take away the byline, then the story becomes, you know, useless to them. So there's just, I mean, listen, first of all, if you're going to BSO for your content, go elsewhere. You need to really reevaluate how you view the world.
I'm not going to lie, Marcus. You know the GIF with the football player, like they had us in the first half. I'm not going to lie. That's how it was with BSO. Cause in the beginning, like when I first heard about it, I was like, okay. Like I was like, you know, trying to support the brother, right? Because I thought that this was something positive. I thought this was going to be something good. And very quickly, I'd say like maybe not even 2 years after I started kind of following and just reading, I'm like, this content isn't great.
It's like going to Barstool.
it's Black Barstool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the content's not great, and so, yeah, like, I think, like, and TJ, you can maybe speak to this a little bit, just you know, given all that's happened in the wrestling world. But I feel like this is a time of cultural reckoning in America, where at the same time as we're seeing people still, a month later, after the death of George Floyd, protesting in the streets, we're also seeing a lot of women and other people that have been taken advantage of, whether it's in the wrestling business or in this case right here with Black Sports Online, that are just like, I'm tired. I can't take this anymore. My story has to be heard.
So it's much like, and it's, I thought this whenever Marcus, you were saying how one story came out and like, oh, there's some smoke there. And then two, three, four, and the numbers going growing, much like Joey Ryan, where you thought everything was good. And then one story came out and then a second one. And then he put his own like post out that has been since deleted, much like all of his social media presence. And then Janela comes out. In this case, Whitlock comes out on Sunday saying, oh, no, this dude is trash. Just you wait. And then everything else comes out afterwards.
How bad does your life have to be, Marcus, if Jason Whitlock is out here calling you trash?
Yeah.
How does Whitlock know? Oh, you're talking about, about Rob. I thought
you – No, not Joey Ryan. You're
not Whitlock. I'm talking about Joey Janela.
Okay, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, Whitlock is low key wrestling fan and huge, and was a huge Joey Ryan fan, obviously.
Talk about outkick the coverage.
Also, Dick Flip too.
Oh man, but yeah, like I think people are just tired, TJ. Like people that have felt like their voice hadn't been recognized. Like people are just like, yeah, like this has gone on long enough. And I think also the pandemic has factored into it, because people in general are just tired and frustrated.
Well, so what was weird about the speaking out, not weird, I guess that's a bad thing to say about it, but much like whenever after George Floyd's death, everyone came out here and all the corporations come out and say, we oppose systematic racism.
Yeah.
We support Black Lives Matter. You know, we defund the police, et cetera, et cetera.
We're getting rid of Aunt Jemima.
Right. But you're like, cool, you're Wrangler jeans. Do you really need to come out with this statement? It's like, you just kept on going. You didn't even say anything. But it's like all these independent wrestlers or promotions like, yeah, speaking out, we support you and XYZ. It's like, okay, you don't need to make this about your guy's self and how your promotion out in City, Iowa is going to make sure that all your voices are heard. You can just go with it and be like, yeah, we've always supported your voice. Like, you don't need to say something. So it's a little odd why everyone has to come out and either voice their, opinion about something. It's good to do, but like, you can kind of sit this one out and let the people who need to voice their opinion have their time to shine right now.
Yeah. I agree. Speaking of voices, Marcus Vandenberg, and opinions and giving people their time to shine, let's go back to Boston. Be a man, Billy Simmons.
It's a good one for me to end on, as I like Bill Simmons. I'll say on the front end, I like Bill Simmons and all his content he does. But then again, I'm soon to be a 38-year-old white male who grew up in the suburb of Pittsburgh. I'm kind of his demo.
Well, here's the thing, Marcus. Like, I agree. Like, I might not like Simmons as much as TJ does, but I do like Simmons. Like, I've never really had a problem with Simmons other than the fact that he chooses to amplify one particular point of view a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill Simmons had a New York Times story about the Ringer and the continued diversity issues that website faces. And, the website, to my knowledge, has no Black editors. It had, prior to, I think, 2 weeks ago, no writers that were assigned to a specific sports beat. I know they have at least one sort of feature writer in Tyler Tyne, so I know personally, who's actually working, and he's been working on a Cam Newton podcast series that will launch in a couple of weeks. So that'll be on the Ringer Network. But yeah, so diversity has been an issue for them. And this New York Times story, I think the one line that got the most attention was from Simmons in response to why they are hurting on the podcast side in particular when it comes to minority voices. And he had the line about it's not open mic night in reference in response to that. Mind you that he's had, you know, his family members on there. He's had his daughter doing a podcast. You know, there are countless shows hosted by white friends of Bill that have been on the Ringer Podcast Network. So, you know, there's definitely room to get more voices involved. But Simmons did respond to the open mic comment as well. He said, he said, quote, "I wish it had been a bigger priority for us to really make a bigger commitment to diversity than we did. I think in the moment we're looking at stuff, you pursue certain people, it doesn't work out. You feel like you're trying, and I think the moment that the country is having in general these last 4 weeks is if you feel like you're trying, that's actually not good enough. We're going to do better." And he claims one of the reasons why he wanted to do this deal with Spotify, which he did not really promote, was he wanted to tap into Spotify's diversity and inclusion sort of department or HR or, you know, whatever resources they have to help improve the Ringer's diversity. So,
You know what this reminds me of, TJ? I don't know if you remember, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago now, because Marcus and I talked about it a lot, maybe 5 years ago now by this point. But it was when Chris Russo had said that he couldn't find any qualified black hosts for the Mad Dog Network. I think he ultimately ended up hiring Stephen A. Smith, which is like, okay. but it's like, I understand. Like, if you want to help out your family or whatever, because if I ever got to the point where I had a platform like Bill Simmons, you better believe, like, my niece is getting the show on the platform. But in addition to that, I would find the best voices I could find, the most diverse voices I could find. I think, TJ, this isn't an issue unlike Dave Portnoy, where I think Dave Portnoy has got some racist tendencies. I don't feel that with Bill Simmons. I just feel like he has a blind spot. And a lot of people in America have had that blind spot over the years where they can only see things from, you know, the white man perspective. So coming from the perspective of a white man, how do you feel about that, TJ?
Great tee up. So one thing I'll say about Simmons's statement on the podcast he did with, which funny, was Rob Lowe was on the podcast that week too. So it's like good setup for Rob Lowe to come on afterwards. But actually the first guest was Don Cheadle.
It was Don Cheadle, very interesting interview,
but followed by Rob Lowe. But anyway,
gotta get that balance down.
You do. I mean, Don Cheadle, great actor, so it works out. But what he should have said in the Spotify thing is we took the Spotify offer because they offered us $200 million, not because of their racial equality and the HR hiring processes and y'all that junk. It's because they offered us $200 million, and I'd be an idiot to turn that down. That's what he should basically say for Spotify. But with Simmons, while he does have a lot of his friends on the podcast, like Ryan Russillo is on every Sunday, which he was the first one to talk about after all the protests that happened after George Floyd's death, which probably wasn't a good idea in hindsight.
That's what started all this, by the way, was that interview. Yeah.
Who can I find to talk about racial strife in America? I know Ryan Russillo.
My own masshole buddy from Napa, from Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, that's not the best voice to go on to talk about that stuff.
No, and I like Russillo, but yeah, not the guy for that spot.
No, exactly. But if it wasn't for Simmons, I wouldn't have been introduced to a lot of black voices that I really much enjoy, like Rembert Brown, Wesley Morris. There's another one I'm trying to – a couple more. Like KD, his podcast with him.
Was that the original home of Jalen Jacoby? Was that ESPN always?
Jalen Jacoby was always ESPN, but it was Bill and Jalen doing their basketball minute on Grantland, which we've worked on every single time.
Grantland. I forgot about Grantland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's been some good voices that I would have never been tuned in. Wasn't for Bill, and that's not a defense of him, but he hasn't completely shut out, you know, that thing, and only hasn't had his buddy House and Jacko on every single week.
What about you, Marcus? What's been your experience with Bill? Were you a fan of his, and do you think that he has a renewed kind of worldview now, or a different worldview now after all this controversy?
I mean, this isn't the first time this has been brought up. So it's like, how many excuses of, oh, we're going to do better, do you give a company? Like, the diversity was an issue at Grantland. It's been an issue at the Ringer.
Yeah.
At some point, you just need to either, you know, shit or get off the pot. Like, make hires that actually improve diversity. Or... hell, just say I'm not going to do it. I respect you more if you say, look, like, I'm going to hire who I'm going to hire.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, you give people the option to either support you or not. But for you to continue to say every year, oh, we're going to do better, we're going to do better, stick with us. Like, no, we're tired of sticking with you. We're tired of waiting for actual change. You need to do it or you don't.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a wife being like, all right, you cheated on me the 15th time. You say you're going to stop seeing this person, but you keep on doing it. So I think it's time to shit or get off the pot here.
Yep.
Yeah.
One last thing on sports media before we wrap things up, Marcus, with our final story. Because I was talking with somebody earlier today about this. And it was the notion of, I don't know if you'd want to say diversity or equality or however you'd phrase it. In sports media, and they were like, well, there's a lot of black people that talk about sports. And yes, there are, but it's always bugged me, Marcus. I don't know how you feel about this, but it's always bugged me that the amount of quote unquote just regular black people talking about sports is so limited, mm-hmm. as opposed to regular white people that just get to talk about sports, you know. I would say the overwhelming percentage of black voices on ESPN or Fox Sports or any major channel or network are former athletes.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I'm just going to name people I like, because I think it'd be too easy to name people that I dislike. But Scott Van Pelt, like, I love Van Pelt. Like, Van Pelt is one of my favorite people to listen to. Scott Van Pelt, they never play in the league.
Hmm.
John Buesegroes. Bruce Gross ain't ever playing in the league, but I like listening to him. Like, you don't have to have that NCAA or major league sports experience to be qualified to talk in this medium, but it seems like the Bomani Jones of the world and the Jamel Hills and Michael Smiths of the world are few and far between in that respect. And that's something that's always bugged me, Marcus, that it feels like the old Chris Rock joke, like the black man got to fly to where the white man can just walk to.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's, you know, we've had to work twice as hard in order to sort of be on the same level as our peers. And that also applies into sports, sports media. And the real issue is that there are not enough of us that are in management that are able to make these hires in order to actually see this happen. Until we get to the point where, you know, we're someone like the Rob King, who's high up ESPN, who has the power to hire, or not hire, but to move Jamel and Mike to SportsCenter, to actually make that happen. Or other executives that have the power to hire people that actually reflect the leadership of an outlet or website. That's the issue. We're just not at that level yet in terms of actually making real change on a sort of a big level like that.
Any thoughts, TJ, before we move to our final discussion piece this week?
I mean, I really can't. Yeah, none. Because it's just hard. You know, it's I don't face those same type of struggles that you may face. So it sucks. And yeah, that's
TJ's like, I hate to tell you guys, I just signed a 4-year deal with the Ringer. Son of a bitch.
I know, it's weird. It was a bidding war between them and Barstool to really get me on for a podcast I got two people to listen to. It's odd. What's your deal?
See, they're like, these deals just keep falling in my lap. Speaking of falling in somebody's lap, that's a segue, Marcus. Let's close out the show with something we haven't done in a while. Segment 4, our weekly repository of ratchetness, where we talk about some crazy stories in the world of sports or pop culture or entertainment. What's going on, Marcus? Who do we need to talk about in segment 4 this week?
A threesome, Nate. And TJ, a threesome. Jada Pinkett Smith, R&B singer artist Alcina, and Will Smith. And no, it's
Big,
not that
Big Willie Styles.
It's not that threesome. It's not that kind of threesome. But artist Alcina came out this week and said that he has been having a relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith, and he got the blessing of Will Smith before engaging in said relationship.
My first response when I heard that was, who is this guy and why is he on my timeline right now, who I've never heard of? And is he only doing this just so people can pay attention because he just dropped an LP or a single or whatever it was?
Well, yeah, of course, the album came out, so surprise. But
right.
This is the quote. Quote, I actually sat down with Will and had a conversation due to the transformation from their marriage to life partnership. He gave me his blessing, Alcina, 27. Mm. That's important because Jada is a woman of a certain age.
Because Will's kids aren't too much younger than Alcina, which is crazy. Well,
this Jaden introduced Jada to August in 2015.
Wow.
He goes on to say, I totally gave myself to that relationship for years of my life, and I truly and really, really deeply love and have a ton of love for her, he said. I devoted myself to it. I gave my full self to it, so much so to the point that I can die right now and be okay with knowing that I truly gave myself to somebody.
Mm. I hate 20-year-olds.
You know, look, TJ is absolutely right. I can't believe I'm saying this. 2020 is wild, y'all. TJ is absolutely right because I typed in August and like I didn't even get through finishing the word August, and for the first time in human history, instead of, you know, something regarding the actual month, Alcina popped up. Like Google finished my sentence for me. It's like, oh, you want to hear about this motherfucker. It's like Google put in August Alcina. So I've heard a couple of his songs, but ain't nobody checking for August Alcina. Like on the pecking order of R&B stars, like he's a mid-major.
I mean, in the eyes of Jada, he's a one seed boy.
See, I thought you were saying the power rankings of August. You would have ranked him, behind the month, and also DJ Augustine for suffering a search war before this guy. My second University of Texas basketball player reference.
I was going to say, I'm feeling a theme developing here. TJ's teeing up some hot Mo Bamba material.
Oh, I used to love. We had a. This has nothing to do with the threesomes and the Smith family and with my hair back and forth, Willow, which isn't who we're talking about, but still. We had a little boombox in our little Beer League Hockey League locker room, and I demanded they played Mo Bamba in it for a bunch of out of shape mid 40s hockey players, and we should jump around when that song came on. It's a great song to play for hockey games. It is.
Oh, TJ brought up Willow Smith, Marcus Vandenberg, and Willow is isn't she part of the Red Table Talk?
Willow is. And
with Jada's
mother.
So,
yep.
So this might be an interesting episode coming up.
We should introduce that part too. So after the story comes out, Jada's camp denies all of it. And there's a tweet this morning from Jada Pinkett Smith that says, there's some healing that needs to happen, so I'm bringing myself to the red table.
Hashtag now it's going to get extremely real.
It might be too real for me to watch because, I mean, do you bring Will to the table? How does this work? Is that like a two-parter where Will shows up in part two?
Yo, this, like, yeah, this, we need to find out what Will Smith has to say about all this, because it feels like, okay, there's three possible explanations, TJ. Either A, this was a Will Smith sanctioned affair, and August Alsina is just now, like, breaching the confidentiality agreement. Yes. B, that this was actually a real affair, like an affair that Will didn't know about ahead of time, but I guess, you know, they came to peace with it. And again, August blabbed it. Or this is a situation where Will and Jada just have this open marriage. But I guess this is part, this ties back into the first theory. Like this was something they all agreed on, but August wasn't supposed to talk.
Or there's option D, but we won't talk about that.
I mean, that's what August Alsina gave. Like, everybody's stumbling. It's like Hungry Hungry Hippos. We're all trying to grab the joke. I can't wait. Because this will probably be more exciting than whatever Will's last project was.
Bad Boys 3?
I'm trying to think. Has he done something?
Bad Boys 3. Don't get us started on that again.
Oh, yeah. Bad Boys 3 was the last thing because then COVID happened.
Yeah. That was genius.
I like Bad Boys 3.
We talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah. It's going to launch a new Bad Boys trilogy.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
The Bad Boys cinematic universe.
Like Fast 6.
Yeah, like Fast 6. Instead of bringing in different action stars, though, they're just going to bring in, like, old comics from the Def Jam era.
Is, what's his name? Not Eddie Curry. Oh, God.
Eddie Griffin?
Eddie Griffin. Is he still around? They're
going to bring in Eddie Griffin, Shucky Ducky, Hamburger.
Hamburger.
Bring in him as undercover brother and, like, working that, like, cross-pollinate it.
Undercover brother meets Bad Boys. I like
that's it. That's a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, Undercover Brother. Like that's racial comedy done well, Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
Terrible ideas.
Well, why you gotta hate, Marcus? Why you gotta hate?
So, based on the table talk they had last year with Will and Jada, it does not surprise me that this was a thing. This is a thing. They seem like they're on some like spiritual marriage relationship.
Like, yeah, what was the quote? It's like we've evolved from a marriage to being life partners.
Life partners, and then there's no deal breakers. There's nothing she could do ever. Nothing that would break our relationship. She has my support till death, and it feels so good to get to that space.
They need to stop hanging out with Gwyneth Paltrow.
He smoked whatever Jaden had left in the room because Jaden be on that outer space stuff sometimes too.
Yes.
Just, you know, Dad, if we're all trees and sometimes trees have roots, but then when you pull up the roots, where's the tree? Like, that right there is why we stopped paying attention to you after Earth, sir.
Yeah.
So, TJ, when are you and your wife going to transcend to the next phase of marriage?
God, I need to get out of here soon so she doesn't transcend me out of the house because I didn't go pick the kids up in time after their daycare. So, yeah, I got to pull a Fast 6 here and get the hell out of the driveway and pick them up here.
TJ's going to have some red table talk tonight.
Yeah, well, Clubfoot Tyler and his broken leg got to get here in a little bit.
Don't get tackled, TJ, get out of here.
Like, what time did I tell you to pick me up, Dad? So, TJ, where can the people listen to you and you can expand your podcast base past two listeners?
No, well, hopefully we'll grow to four and double it up after this bump from you guys. So, Texas HS football is my site that I still run and operate, and we may be dropping some news on streaming for the 2020 season. It just all depends on if the UIL decides to lift the ban of their blackout rule where you can't show a live game on Friday nights because they want to protect the sanctity and the tradition of people showing up at town's closing and yada, 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 Buzz Bissinger, Malcolm Gladwell, crap, whatever they want to promote for Friday Night Lights. So that is a big thing that we hopefully will be on the horizon of launching live football games for the 2020 season.
Cool.
So Texas HS football.
And where can people find you on social?
At TJ McAloon. And I do come in time to time for the Texas HS football. If you see tweets about Bun B and UGK, that's me taking over the Twitter feed.
Yeah, TJ's got an underrated Twitter feed. I'll give him that.
Yeah, because it's under, like, no one pays attention to it, so that's why.
Occasionally, TJ's out here dropping dimes occasionally.
Yeah, like Tupac better than Biggie, and the whole West Coast better than the East Coast. I will stand by that take.
Marcus Vandenberg, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me on Twitter at @8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show on Twitter, CosPod, KOS_POD, Facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport, Patreon.com/TheKingsOfSport. You know all the rest. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. TJ McClune, appreciate you as always, brother.
Thanks, TJ.
Go get them kids, man. Go be a responsible father.
They're annoying. I hate them so much. I mean, they're great. I love them. I'm so happy to be with them. I do not regret getting a vasectomy 2 years ago.
So, for TJ McClune, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And I say it once again, fuck Dave Portnoy. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Pull up to your spot on low, shine brighter than all of the cats that got on glow. Laying the cut like they not going no. Cause if I gotta make a move, dog, they not going no. This storm all private, this is not for show. It's most def what you call real for show. Is they what you call gangster? Hell no. They get a little pinch and go snitch to the pole. They all talk fast and they all think slow. I'm most definite, not think so. Flood your city with the black ink flow. And my crew ain't scared to let them things go. So stop with the nonsense, like keep conscious. I'm just a wag dog, I'm doing great, dog. I don't play games, so I don't play, I hate y'all. Get it straight and get the fuck up out my face, dog. I'm like the second plane that made the towers face off. That shit to let you know it's really not a game, dog. Your grind and my grind ain't the same, dog. I'm the catalog, you the same song. So cool and old school like A4. The one your little mommy winding up a waist for. The name that real niggas got their hand raised for. Me and Minnie got your block yellow taped off. So skate off. To the streets, to the beach, the bitches, the niggas, the women, the children, the workers, the killers, the addicts, the dealers, the quiet, the livers, the realists, and that's close. To the edge, back, middle, and front. Strong back, shit, lifting it up. From the big and the small, I'm like Jay Brown getting involved. But when I'm letting up, the players don't get in the cross.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on?
Wild cowboy, not to get off their horse. But they find out the talent on strictly enforced. It's a real bad way to get your name in the sauce. Testing the limits of a dangerous force. You ended up dumb, famous, and gone. Your people shouting out your name in their song. Pour liquor on the day you were born. Buying paint to put your face on the wall. Come on, fall back.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat. Cause that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!
I'm on a new level.